Welcome to the Ether. Today is Sunday, May 22nd, 2022. Today on the Ether, Terra 2.0 NFT Sunday Chat, hosted by Karma. Let's take a listen.
I moved the spaces a little bit later than I originally planned it because I know that the spaces about Near Protocol and Terra is still going on. I think Cephi is also going strong there. It's still running, but I think that's all right. The agenda of today's spaces is very, very loose. It's more about having an open round table for everybody to vent, discuss, and chat about everything that has happened over the past weeks, more than, you know, like a fixed top to bottom to-do list today. Having said that, I would like to sort of like touch upon just a few, you know, particular points, I guess, especially about what Galactic Punks and the Galactic DAO has recently announced they will be doing, and just maybe in general talk about the possibilities for NFT collections to migrate to Terra 2.0 and the still very nebulous technicals of that. If at any point you have anything to add or you just really like to share something on the topic, feel free to request to speak. I think it would be really, really great to have a little bit more of a discussion, a little bit more of an open round table. Some projects, devs and builders should join us a little bit later. Will be more of a drop in and drop out spaces that is a bit more free for everybody to participate in. So again, feel free to request to speak and raise your hand at any given point, and we will make it a very, very free format. Now, I will kick off just by saying that I think we've all been through a few very, very hellish weeks. Maybe before I even kick off, could someone tell me if I can be heard all right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jack. Now, we've been through some hellish weeks. And I think it might be useful to very, very first ground ourselves in the present, see where we are. Now, I think everybody is aware that the stabilization of our Terra ecosystem has begun, I would say, on the 10th of May. That's where we all were, you know, fighting our anchor liquidations. And then by the time the 12th of May rolled around, as ground, well, heartbreaking as it was and groundbreaking, we have, or most of us have noticed that Terra has entered a death spiral, and we've all sadly watched our beloved ecosystem basically fall apart in some ways that we possibly haven't expected at this point. And since, I think it has been absolutely incredible to see, and this is one of the things that I would love to discuss today, it was incredible to see the role that NFTs played in this absolutely incredible time as a store of value, and also NFT communities as a support network for everybody within the collapse of Terra. I think many discords of many projects have basically changed within hours into this really, really incredible and wholesome support structure for everybody that, you know, could hardly believe their eyes. And I think we've accomplished a lot as a community and could be proud of our collective reaction to this, even if it was heartbreaking. Now, on May the 16th, DocFon submitted a proposal for the Terra Revival Plan 2. I believe that is the proposal, and I noted this somewhere, because there are like thousands being submitted daily. Okay, I did not note down the number. However, Terra Ecosystem Revival Plan, submitted by Doc Kwon on the 16th. This has since been amended many times with slight, you know, additions, as discussed with the something called Terra Builders Alliance, which is basically a group of people who have been building on Terra and who have a vested interest in seeing it persist and seeing it in some way continue its existence. And this is where we are now. I think, as far as I'm aware, the proposal has passed with, you know, overwhelming support. However, I have never seen this many abstain votes. And I think many validators voted abstain because they want to see themselves as the impartial party in all of this. And as we know, on Terra, if you disagree with the way your validator has voted for you, you can override that vote by voting yourself. That's something that many people don't know. I also believe, as far as I'm aware, you cannot take any more Luna. That's why basically the chain was halted back on the 12th to prevent, because of the low price of Luna right now, to prevent someone from buying large swatches of it, staking and taking over the governance. But this is where we are. We are on the precipice of the now passed revival plan that will bring us Terra 2.0. This will be basically a new revived chain without the USD role in it. And this does not mean that Terra 1, or Terra Classic, as it will be renamed, will cease existing. We will be caught in between the two chains existing at the same time. It is as of yet quite unclear still which validators will be validating which chains. Many have already signaled their support for Terra 2.0, but obviously everything is still quite nebulous, even though everybody is working very, very hard behind the scenes to, you know, make this all possible and make this work out. After this brief introduction, where does this leave us as NFT collections? And this is one of the things that we wanted to discuss today. Over the past days, we have seen people take very different approaches, and all of them are completely, you know, viable. We have seen collections announce moving to other chains. We have seen collections announce that they will be staying and moving, if to any chain, to Terra 2.0. Among others, Galactic Punks and the Galactic DAO. And I think it is very, very important to talk today about the ways in which this migration could possibly happen. And again, I think my phone is rugging me a little bit, and I'm having like trouble admitting speakers. So, this is like every single time. It's Twitter Spaces just absolutely hates me. So Jack, if you see anyone requesting to speak, please let me know, because basically my phone is glitched and I can't access the menu.
Yeah, I'm bringing people up who are requesting to speak.
Thank you. I can only speak, which is something I do brilliantly. I think at this point, before I dive into the ways that we could migrate and who will be migrating, is there anyone who wants to, you know, comment or anything? Or just, again, this is a completely open spaces, very, very spontaneous. There's anything you want to share or just vent, that is completely valid as well. Feel free to go on.
I'll say a couple quick words. Thanks for this great intro, Karma. I'm curious what everyone's selling point is with Terra 2.0, considering Terra was really about UST. What is keeping people around for the next go?
Yeah, I think before anyone else starts off, I think I can speak for maybe not the entire Galactic DAO, but for the Galactic Punks team. I think collections and protocols exist that just happened to choose Terra as a new and vibrant and developing ecosystem that was, you know, promising a lot in terms of growth potential. But there is an entire huge subset, an entire community pool of people that chose Terra for very particular reasons. And migration to other chains is not as viable or not as easy. Now, in terms of the Galactic DAO, for example, I would say that Galactic Punks have arrived at the point where we were no longer just an NFT collection. It was more of a Web 3.0 collective and community that just happened to use Galactic Punks NFTs as a gating mechanism. Everything on our roadmap and everything we were working towards was based on the common belief of advancing, you know, decentralized money that Terra promised with the USD, the biggest, you know, algorithmic stablecoin to ever exist. Now, even without that stablecoin, we are still so ingrained within the Terra ecosystem that just by the virtue of our existence, we would love to stay on the mother chain and continue with its history. As I always like to say, like, I really do believe that many NFT collections are almost like a base layer of culture for particular blockchains. And I think in this case, this is the only way for this OG collection to persist. And to just sort of like answer a question in a bit more broader way, I do understand that many people ask themselves, like, what's the value proposition of Terra without the USD? Everything was always about the decentralized stablecoin. But I would argue that the very, very intensely vibrant developer culture that we had on Terra, like, Terra has always been known as the builder's chain. That's where lots of developers converged. Every developer I have ever worked with or talked with has been mightily impressed by how incredible it was to build on Terra, the wealth of resources provided that were not as easily accessible on other chains, and even the way that the programming is structured. And I can't speak in detail to that because I'm a non-technical person, but everything I've always heard was that people have never found it as easy to build anywhere as it was on Terra. And I think that in itself is a huge bonus. If you can make it easy for people to build on your chain, you will attract incredible builders. And that with Terra went hand in hand with an amazing community that, on the other hand, made it so much easier to onboard new people, because when these people were coming on, the very, very closely knit community helped newbies. There was always, you know, a wealth of explainer videos that I don't find as easy to find on other chains. Or maybe there's just so much more noise that it's difficult to filter out the really, really wealthy content. So if I were to summarize this, it would be like a culture of building with a very, very, very rich, you know, wealth and resources for developers, easing the transition from other chains even. It would be the incredible UI UX that makes onboarding new people into crypto much easier. And it would be the still persisting community. I think overall that is already a much bigger value prop than some of the chains now have. And I'm not saying this, you know, in a cruel way. I've tried other chains. Maybe I'm still like a little bit of a maxi, but I'm really trying not to be, but I find it very difficult to use some other chains. And I think ease of use when it comes to crypto is one of the biggest value propositions still that can be had. What do you think, Sulian? What's your personal idea?
It's a tough question, because communities and builders can migrate whenever they want, really. I think the value proposition of decentralized money was a big reason for communities and builders to stick around in Terra. And without that, why wouldn't many of the builders listen to some of the proposals from people from Secret Network or Juno or anywhere else on Cosmos, or even Kujira that's building their own chain? I'm just at the moment having a hard time kind of seeing why you'd have to, you're kind of rowing against the current at the moment because of the trust that was really lost, mostly with Terraform Labs, with a community that's been overall hurt pretty bad. How do you actually respect that, or convincing people not only to stick around, but new people to come into a chain with the history that it has now? and without kind of the biggest selling point, which was decentralized money, it's I'm just still having a hard time seeing why communities still have that big incentives to stay when other places are making it so easy to transition.
I think that's a completely fair point, and I think that many teams will choose to deploy somewhere else. But again, like, I just disagree, and I think that USD was not Terra's only value prop. Yes, it was the biggest. I think many of us have started using it because of the USD. But I think the network effect of just having the apps like basically ready to be redeployed on the new chain without, you know, the hyperinflation that is now on old chain and that we are trying to get away from by creating a new one. Maybe I'm just an optimist, but I do feel that there is a huge value still left. And I also disagree with the idea that, oh, well, why restart? Why just not redeploy somewhere else? Again, I think I love Secret Network. I love other Cosmos chains. I love the entire idea. But I think there is huge value in trying to sort of like stick within the community. I think as soon as you try to deploy somewhere else, not the entire the entire community will not follow you there. And that's natural. Like, neither will all the community follow us to Terra 2.0, but there is still a bit of a common ground. Like, that's what the Terra Builders Alliance was trying to achieve in the first place. Like, getting people together that do plan to redeploy on Terra 2.0. So this is not a group of people and a group of builders that you could just migrate somewhere else in a coherent manner, because they could never ever agree on let's call it a third party blockchain. You would always lose a part of that. Whereas when it comes to Terra 2.0, many people were ready to at least attempt to rebuild in some way. And I'm not trying to, you know, feed anyone hopium. I think it will be incredibly, incredibly difficult to rebuild anything at all. But again, on the other hand, I also believe that crypto has a collective memory of a goldfish. And, you know, in a couple of years, if enough interesting DeFi is created, if, you know, third party, let's say it's stable coins, are introduced to the chain, allowing for the interesting DeFi concepts to be utilized by third party blockchains or like third party, you know, capital. I think that that's basically the value prop of every other single layer one, isn't it? Unless there is like some super like a gimmick. I don't know. I just feel like I'm in between. I do see the criticism and I do see the skepticism. We've all been burned badly. But I'm also very, very far away from writing this off.
I think those are very, very fair points. And I don't want to just sound like the chain's over or that I have no trust. It's just I'm trying to be really unbiased and just really try to see kind of all the information as it's laid out. It's felt as though a lot of the proposals have been very quickly pushed through, lacking a lot of information, or at least for me or for really anyone in the community. We're still lacking information on like the Terra 2.0 tokenomics, how inflation's going to look there without the UST Luna mechanism of burning and minting. I'm very curious to see whether it's going to be TFL making these executive decisions, if it's actually, as they have been hinting at, going to be kind of the builders getting a lot more of a say. Because, yeah, it is very true that a lot of the builders and the builder community in Terra is incredible. No one can really deny that. And the work that's been done on Terra is really amazing. I do agree with you on the goldfish thing. As soon as price goes up, people forget about the past. So that's definitely going to be interesting to watch as builders and communities kind of choose their way. Launching a chain with the amount of protocols that Terra already has is definitely going to be interesting. However,
You know, you're launching without Anchor and you're launching without UST, which is one of the biggest base layers of Terra, or, you know, a lot of building or money Legos were off of UST and Anchor and how those function. So I'm curious how a lot of the protocols are actually going to evolve moving forward. I think there's definitely going to be a couple months where it's going to be up to builders and community to contribute on how that's going to evolve. And it's really going to be interesting to see how that develops.
Absolutely. And Guy Ranger, I see you've joined the speaker, so I will give you the word in a second. I just wanted to say that exactly this is the big unknown. We don't know how it will all look like. Nobody knows. But there, you know, like whenever there is uncertainty, there is also opportunity. And I think where, for example, when we look at Terra, when we look back, Luna was such a superior asset and such an incredibly apex investment in comparison to all the Luna and Terra altcoins that we've been joking about the bad performance of altcoins on Terra forever, because everybody was dumping their airdrops, their, you know, like the emissions for Luna. Everybody was dumping everything just to acquire more Luna. Now, I think down the line, if the incredible quality of TeFi, composable TeFi persists, various altcoins on Terra will be, you know, finally allowed to thrive. Also, the NFT markets that were, I would not say, you know, completely brushed off by everybody, but we as an NFT space certainly haven't been given enough attention on Terra, or soon to be Terra Classic. I think that will become a value prop of its own. Terra has worked incredibly fast, incredibly well, even times of, you know, very, very high stress mints. And I think it has the scalability to rival, you know, like, for example, that of Solana, possibly, which we all know is now congested, but with considerably higher volume. So, of course, it is difficult to compare at the moment. I'm just saying that we take away one value prop, but we can supplement with another. Again, I'm sort of like in between the bearish and the bullish scenario. Guy Ranger, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, Carmen. Yeah, I'd just like to add that I think we all agree that the only certainty at the moment is all the uncertainty. Like what Carmen said, it's a very nebulous situation. Nobody has a crystal ball to see what exactly will happen. Everybody has their own view on Terra 2.0. And the Terra Classic, how well or how unwell they may perform. So, but I want to say is at this sort of time when nothing is certain and it's almost impossible to give any reasonable foresight into what will happen, I think it's very important to be cautious on making drastic decisions. By referring to drastic decision is just, for example, for Galactic Punk to quickly announce that they are going to another chain, for example. Because I think when emotion runs high and people are all burnt and got this, you know, very negative feeling, and they tend to try to make some quick decisions to make changes or to fix the mistakes or even out of their control they have made. So I think people may tend to overestimate the positives of, for example, going to another chain, this sort of more drastic decision, and underestimate the difficulties of actually doing that. We can all talk about, can you go to Juno, you can Secret or Solana or Algorand, etc. Yes, it's technically it won't be very difficult to bring a collection to a rival chain, and I'm sure there will be a loyal group of community member who will follow them to that whatever chain they choose. But I think ultimately we have to agree there will be a lot of community members that will be lost during this process. And also in a new environment, on a new chain, there are a lot of other uncertainties. Certainties such as, would you be able to attract new community members? Or how are you going to compare with the other successful projects on another chain like Solana, for example. So I think, having said that, if you come back to see what Terra is or Terra 2.0 is, there are a lot of uncertainty, but I think there is some reasonable certainty that there will be some people, some loyal community members who will still follow the project on the mother chain. And who knows? Because we know at the moment, at least, that Terra Classic will be running and Terra 2.0 will be running. Now, how these two chains will interact with each other and how they will play out, we really don't know. We need, there are too many details that are missing. And even if we have those details, when actually things play out, then it completely be different from what we imagine them to be. So I think it's a very dynamic situation and anything could happen. So I think as a project, from the project point of view, just impartially, like me, I mean, I have like two hats. One hat is totally a third party, impartial view. I would say for any project, I think they should be cautious in making those big decisions. But I'm also a Galactic Punk holder at that hat. So I probably would rather the collection stay on Terra because I believe by doing so, there is a slightly higher chance of it achieving some sort of value compared to going to another chain. But that's totally unknown. Even you look at the randomness, for example, I mean, the trading for the Punk is not that bad. I know compared to the top floor price, yes, that's decreased a lot. But compared to mint price in US dollar value, I think it still holds up quite well, actually. I don't know the exact number, but possibly five times or four or five times. So I think happening even at this moment of time when there is such a lot of uncertainty ahead. So I personally, I believe sort of the Punk team is taking the right approach in addressing this problem. And obviously the detail, we haven't got any details yet exactly how the new collection is going to be. Is it going to be a drop or a burn and whatever? But I think we shouldn't be tempted to make some quick decisions because if it's a quick decision, that probably means it's not the optimal decision. Thank you.
No, completely fair and very, very good thoughts. When it comes to how a migration to Terra 2.0 could look like, I really would love to speak about that. And, you know, about what infrastructure we can expect on Terra 2.0. But first, I would love to, give the word to Nick, who has requested to speak. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for letting me. I just wanted to agree actually a lot with you, Karma, and I don't know how to pronounce your name, Geranger, that I just wanted to share something of what Terra means to me eventually. So initially, Terra really meant a lot to me in the sense of the decentralized stablecoin. But I think that the problem with UST eventually, at this point, is quite obvious, is that it was actually mostly used on Anchor just to as a substitute to earning more on your savings, right? But eventually, a lot of the rest of Terra, what I noticed was that it was actually Terra 1.0, was actually running on Luna, as you'll see with the crazy amount of Luna stacking and all the NFTs always relist themselves on the secondary market in Luna versus UST. So actually, I think a lot of lunatics actually valued Luna over UST. And personally, the draw for me to keep using Terra was actually, like I think Karma said, the ease of use and the cohesive vision among all the builders to ensure that every protocol and app was well designed and somewhat. This is something that I found across all the blockchains and why I love Terra was that all the apps had this shared vision to kind of make it homogenous across everything and that it was just easy to use and you don't have to go through a browser and stuff like that. And you learn one Terra app, you kind of learn all the Terra apps. I think that was very good. I think that UST was a great idea, but its use case, now I'm thinking about it a lot, is that I think the use case was somewhat too close to what the central banks want to achieve now. And this competition may be an issue. I mean, clearly it's an issue. And like I think a lot of future forward-thinking people would agree that the future is collaboration, and perhaps trying to compete with stablecoin issuers at this point isn't the best path forward, especially after we've been whacked down to Nuketown. And although I do think that decentralized money is something that's very important, but maybe it's best left to Bitcoin and other bigger proof of work networks. And perhaps like what I feel is that proof of stake at this point is always kind of centralized anyway. So maybe it's okay that we run proof of stake for the speed, and then we sacrifice a little bit for centralization. And maybe working to include some centralized institutions is not the worst idea, because wherever Terra 2.0 is going, like Terra 1.0 was all about UST, right? But eventually it kind of became all about Luna, and lunatics loved using Terra, I mean, including myself. And we actually prized Luna so much to the point that what I found was that Luna became the value of the Terra network, and UST was doing its own thing. So I think what I want to say is that I find that moving to Terra 2.0 and then becoming a layer one protocol with just Luna as the representational value of the stuff that we built on top of it is probably not the worst idea.
Yeah, I think fair enough. I slightly disagree. I mean, I will be the first to admit that, you know, I don't have the extensive financial or, I don't know, macroeconomic education that some of the people in the space might have. So it's always to be enjoyed with caution, you know, to like what statement one makes, because we all have to admit that some of us stumbled into this decentralized finance world and we just don't know enough about how all of this actually works to make coherent suggestions. But if I learned anything, then it's that I believe long term we should still strive for decentralized stablecoins. I think the statement of, you know, decentralized finance needs decentralized money did ring true for me, because USDC and USDT are completely centralized and could potentially be frozen or seized. I think many of us rallied around the concept of a stablecoin that could function as the, you know, just the ground layer for decentralized finance, because it was not really controlled by anyone. And I'm the first to admit that, yes, Terra, the TFL, like, the chain was not yet as decentralized as many of us would have liked it to be. But it was a big financial experiment, and many of the things in this space are not yet perfect. We are, you know, at the very, very forefront of exploring all of this. So maybe going back to what we are trying to achieve now, I would just like to reiterate that I think there is more value than just the UST that will now exit the system of Terra 2.0. And we can expect many things that haven't been given enough attention before, maybe like the NFT space, to hopefully grow long term. I'm not saying that, and I think that's very important for all of us and for our, you know, collective mental health to adjust our expectations. We are not going to basically start over. We are not picking up where we left with Terra 2.0. That's not its goal. It is a sort of a rebirth. It's not even, I think, a perfect fork in technical sense, since we are not just, you know, rewinding the chain. We are actually changing many parameters. But I think it's an absolutely great attempt to keep together a very close-knit community of builders and users that would otherwise scatter among other chains. Because maybe, again, maybe this is a pessimist in me, but I do think that Terra Classic, the one that we would be leaving behind potentially, it will be very difficult for that chain to pick itself back up. Now, Terra 2.0 will not be burdened with the, you know, hyperinflation that has happened, and has actually a good start, I guess, even though it will be burdened with almost like the perception of being a consolation prize to many of the people that were liquidated and lost many things. But yeah, I guess we can all agree that we will just have to wait and see. I respect all the teams that decide to move, you know, forward or move to other chains. I think we just all have to be aware that different protocols and different teams just have different values and have different visions that can or cannot be executed on another chain. And that's just always to be respected. We have Rectwolf here, so I'm going to invite them to speak as well, because we know that they have went down the route of basically transitioning slowly to another chain, to layer zero, with Xulian's, you know, vigorous help. And that is an incredible example of how a collection can actually transition without abandoning its values, or even, I would say, bolstering its values, because Rectwolf has always signaled that they want to be a cross-chain DAO and a cross-chain collection. Now, we also have Hank here. Hank, feel free to, you know, raise your hand and maybe say something about Terra 2.0 debacle from a developer's perspective. I just wanted to quickly say here that I'm not seeing Random Earth anywhere in the speakers or the, you know, people who have requested to speak, but I did want to tell everybody that they are incredibly committed to building on Terra 2.0, and every collection that is, you know, maybe a bit anxious about the lack of infrastructure on Terra 2.0 can rest assured that Random Earth will be there for them. I am not as certain about the other marketplaces. I'm sure they need a little bit more time, because as far as I'm aware, Random Earth actually has the smallest team. They have cut down substantially so that they can run with very little funds monthly, which allows them to, you know, ensure that they can carry on even now that the royalties that everybody is getting are drastically reduced. And I just wanted to ensure that everybody knows that in the background, both developers from the TFL and developers from Random Earth are working on migration tools that will enable the collections that would like to port to Terra 2.0 to do so with, you know, possibly minimal self-dev input. That's a very important thing to know and important thing to consider. Anyone else wants to add anything at this point? Again, a very, very free format here. Feel free to chip in.
Yeah, I can jump in here. I think I didn't know that about Random Earth and TFL were working on that. I'm actually writing a contract with the Stash team right now to like help like be able to move projects from Terra to Secret and back like at will. And so, I mean, this contract, I don't know the specifics on what Cosm Wasm will use on Terra V2, but I mean, this contract would work the same there. So it's great to see that. I kind of see these like bridges as kind of a safety net almost, because if Terra V2 is early and we have these liquidity issues with not a ton of buyers on the market, then if you can have these cross-chain projects like what Rectwolf is doing, then I think you have a lot more, many more options, and there's a lot less downside for remaining on Terra V2. So,
yeah, and maybe this, before Rectwolf and Xulian chime in, sorry for interrupting Xulian. I just wanted to say, because we all have to acknowledge that it has been a bit difficult because our old Terra, how I will now call it, has not been fully IBC enabled. So not everything was very easily composable and interoperable within the Cosmos ecosystem. Now, Hank, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the goal is for Terra 2.0 to be fully IBC enabled. And I presume that this makes it easier for NFTs to be more interoperable. Is that correct?
Yeah, totally. There's a few things coming down, like the Cosmos like pipeline and from the developer side with like cross-chain messages, which would allow you to call smart contracts on a different chain. And then also there's a standard for cross-chain NFTs that's coming out as well. I don't really know any timelines on that. But yeah, you could like send your NFT from Terra to Stargaze to Juno or something, and that could all happen natively on the Cosmos.
And I think Like that's absolutely brilliant to hear. That's sort of like what I've been hearing all along, but it's great to have it confirmed from yet another person. I think this also, I don't want to say simplifies the discussion, because the discussion is not simple, but in some way this allows us to think about migration to Terra 2.0 as a step towards interoperability within the Cosmos ecosystem in general. Like if these updates are kickstarted, and if these updates do come into fruition, it matters a bit less than it would have mattered on old Terra, whether you're on Terra or, I don't know, Juno or Secret, whatever. If we do have these interoperable and cross-chain, Cosmos cross-chain NFT standards, it will be easier to move your assets across anyway. It's almost like less of a, you know, a ride or die decision whether you stay or not, because you will still possibly soon have that ease of transport. I think that's very, very important, and I'm really, really happy to hear that this is in development. Yeah. Nevertheless, I think the question was about timelines, and I think it's very, very important to note this, that none of this is going to happen tomorrow, and possibly not next week. Possibly not even next month. I think we all have to be quite patient. And yeah, I don't know if Rectwolf or anyone else, Xulian, I interrupted you before, if you would like to chip in at this point before we move on.
Yeah, I had a quick comment on, well, slightly on Rectwolf and also on the Cosmos integration. On Rectwolf, on their movement, I'm sure Berserker has way more information on that, but essentially the use of layer zero is essentially making the collection chain independent or chain agnostic. It kind of brings attention to the collection itself rather than whatever chain it's on at the moment. Kind of the next comment on Cosmos IBC and stuff. With Cosmos, I'm spacing out on the name, but it's cross-chain identities, I believe. Essentially what it allows is for you to be chain agnostic on Cosmos regardless on what chain you're on, so you can call different actions on different chains regardless of where you're kind of starting out from, which is really exciting, and again allows for easier movement between all the chains, and it's going to unlock a lot of possibilities for NFTs and projects and protocols. So just some comments on that.
Yeah, again, absolutely brilliant. I love what layer zero is doing and what interoperability it unlocks. I, however, still believe that it's not the right choice for some collections, for, you know, better or worse. Either Rectwolf or Rogue Monkey, you've just joined or not? Well, Rogue Monkey? Yeah.
Can you hear me? Go ahead, Berserker.
Hey, sorry. Had some issues with Twitter. So yes, hey, this is Berserker from GP DAO and Rectwolf, I guess. I was listening, you know, to this Twitter Spaces, and I'll just bring one comment. You know, maybe my views on Terra 2.0 aren't as hopeful as others, but I do wish everyone to make it. So I do hope it works out. But I think it was pretty much on what you said, your last comment, which is we have to be patient. It's going to take time. And I, you know, I guess maybe this is me personally speaking as an individual, but I like to be, you know, master of my own faith. And right now it doesn't seem like that's the case. It seems like we'll have to wait as a community to see what Terra 2.0 looks like. And if it works out, well, good for us. We can maybe help shape it. But really, we're at the, you know, the mercy of the timelines of TFL and DOE and so on, right? So compared to if we decide to adapt and move, we can be on Terra 2.0 in the future if we implement something like Layer 0. But we're also future-proofing ourselves by having the option of going to any other chain. So basically, adapting to the situation and kind of, you know, being the drivers instead of being the passengers, I think is important. Maybe it's my way of keeping the control here, but even for the project, I feel that's a better situation than wishfully thinking this Terra 2.0 works out. Maybe it will, like I said, but we don't know how long it's going to take. And right now, all we can do is wait. And if there is one resource that you cannot buy in this life, it's time. You can't purchase time. It's your most precious resource. So you're waiting for what, right? For it to kind of pan out. Like I said, maybe it's a personal thing, but I prefer to take action. And I know maybe I don't want to think it's an emotional decision. We thought about it a lot, but that's basically why we also decided to move the Wrecked Wolf collection, is to kind of secure it. And if ever Terra 2.0 works out, we can always come back or, you know, have that option. So basically kind of, you know, taking action is in this world where time is finite, where if you wait and nothing happens in 6 months or crashes in 12 months, well, that's another 12 or 6 months you invested in this network that didn't work for you. So I've been in Terra for a year and a half, right? And onboarded family and friends. So I've been, you know, a lunatic, right? And we all kind of got wrecked, gave countless hours to Galactic Punk's DAO as an ambassador, and now, you know, kind of have my project. So it's not like, you know, I'm not committed. I was very committed. I already gave 18 months of my life to Terra. And now you're asking me to give more time, and I don't even know what that would look like. So, you know, that's basically my comment here around being patient and waiting. I guess it depends on you, but I just feel that that's not good enough for me if I can't do something about it now.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's how I'm feeling right now, too, with like, everyone says, wait, just wait. It'll all get fixed. And what if it doesn't? I don't want to like bet my future on someone else's control. And so that's kind of why like I wanted to help build this bridge with the secret network, is so that projects can move out now. It's the easiest way, in my opinion, since the smart contracts are so similar. The standards are based on the CW721. So you can move over to secret and immediately come back. And I think this will be out in the next week or so, is like the timeline that we've talked about. And that, I mean, layer zero is another great option for the Solana and EVM chains. But yeah, I think that like the ability to take action immediately is incredibly important here, because what if this all is just one big rug or something, then I don't want to be tied to one chain.
Yeah, I'm going to add to that because I fully agree. I think one of the biggest reflections after the whole crash was, what could I have done and what can I do moving forward? Because, you know, during the crash, pre-crash, like, there's nothing you can change about the past. And many of us, pretty much everyone here, I'm sure, invested so much time into Terra, got paid in UST or Luna for a while. And then that was over. And then how can you future-proof yourself, and just what is in your control moving forward? And what can you build moving forward? And how can you kind of control that destiny as much as possible to avoid any other outcomes that might not be beneficial? So I agree with those comments very much.
And from my side, you know, one of the things I said at first was that different solutions will be right for different collections. And I think depending on what the very goal and what the very nature of the collection was, different decisions can be right or wrong, at least for the team building, and maybe for the community itself. We have decided to stay on Terra /build some kind of a bridge between Terra and Terra 2.0, because we see Galactic Punks and the Galactic DAO as intertwined with Terra's history, we simply, as a team, like, we build a collection for Terra, and that's where we want it to remain. We believe that its premier DAO should, like, its fate should be tied to its mother chain. Now, some people might disagree with that. I think that's just a part of what this collection has always been, even in these very unprecedented circumstances. And when we are talking about, you know, like, acting fast, yes, we all in crypto really like to act fast, but I also think that many people are drained right now, and it's really, really all right not to make any fast decisions. I know that I, for one, have been spammed on every possible network in the past weeks to, you know, make a quick decision. I'm talking, you know, hundreds of messages every single day. But I also appreciate that it is now time for self-reflection. And at the very least, for an OG collection that is established or was established as Galactic Punks, I see quick actions as almost something that could possibly end wrong. And it will be different for a collection that, you know, has an upcoming mint and has a cross-chain logic from the very beginning within its roadmap, like Red Wolf. So I'm just trying not to speak in absolutes, because we're all obviously very, very subjective here, not just as people, but also as parts and cogs in the machine of bigger collections that have their own objectives and that cannot be directly compared. And when we speak about uncertainty, as much as I do like Layer Zero and as much as I do like the concept, don't get me wrong, it's exciting. But there is just as much uncertainty, maybe less so than about Terra 2.0, which is obviously a more difficult situation. But I don't know yet exactly how the networks will work, whether there will be aggregators, and how that all will be tied into one coherent narrative when members of my collection can basically port their NFTs to any possible network. Like, where will the liquidity reside? And I, from what I understood, some of these announcements will be made soon. I'm just trying to say it's not like moving to Layer Zero guarantees you a completely laid out process of how your collection will develop there. There are finities to this discussion, and if anything, we should learn about crypto, and I think we've learned that enough. That uncertainty is everything we will ever have. There are just degrees of it. I guess that's just what I wanted to add to this debacle. But I do see moving as the only right option for some collections that have to keep developing and just can't allow themselves to lose the momentum right now while they are in the very, very, you know, intensive development stage or right before another mint. Wow, silence all along. Sorry, just wanted to provide like a different narrative. Again, I love Layer Zero, and I'm really, really excited for what they hope to announce in the past, in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I guess, can we brainstorm ideas? Is this like an open forum? Is that fine if I throw an idea out there? Then I don't want you to feel obliged to follow through.
I do not feel obliged to do anything at this point in my life.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we've discussed this within the Discord, right? And talking for GPs here, is what about having never mint on, you know, keeping the OG GP collection on Terra as intended? And maybe if that looks like Terra 2.0 in the future, that will be that. But in the meantime, working on another collection that could be minted on any other chain and kind of having that as a hedge for the future of the Galactic DAO and the Galactic Punks community. It can be anything, right? It's just kind of bringing our community together to build that out in the future without compromising the OG GP collection, you know, or moving it in any shape, way, or form. But I understand that this takes commitment from, I guess, everyone on this, but kind of, I think this idea was thrown around a lot, so I'm wondering what are everyone's thoughts on this?
Sulia, you had something to add right away, so go ahead before I launch into this.
Yeah, that's a little bit of comments on that. Because I know the identity of Galactic Punks is so intertwined with Terra, but at the same time, it's Galactic Punks, it's not Terra Punks. So, like, Cosmos kind of aligns a little more with Galactic, in a sense, and with IBC and all, shouldn't the Galactic DAO, again, I'm not trying to place ultimatums, I'm not trying to criticize, I'm just kind of brainstorming, but like the Galactic DAO could just be part of the Cosmos ecosystem regardless of the chain they're on or they started at. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, or if anyone else from the Galactic team is here.
Yeah, no, of course, but I'm just going to like basically turn this very argument around and ask, if the Galactic Punks can be a part of the general Cosmos chain, no matter which Cosmos chain they are at, what is the value proposition of moving to any other than Terra 2.0 and actually staying true to the narrative of what the collection was created for?
Everything that was built. Like, with everything that's been built now, it doesn't really matter where all of the work was done is held at the moment. Like, Galactic Punks have a whole minting smart contract situation. They have on-chain voting for DAO governance. Like, that's, and staking for NFTs. Like, that's really, really amazing work. That could really be implemented anywhere that matches with the Galactic identity, and that's anywhere on Cosmos, and whether it be on Terra or it is on its own Cosmos like chain like Osmosis or something. Like, is that too far-fetched?
It's, again, like, it's not too far-fetched. Everything is technically possible. I just because something technically can be done, it doesn't have to be. What I'm struggling to comprehend here is, again, what would the value prop be? What can we do on Juno that we can't do on Terra 2.0? You know, I do understand that people are very excited to move forward and act now. Like Berserker has said, like here from the Wrecked Wolf account, some people in the times of collapse, in times of stress like this, really value quick action. And in some cases, for some collections, that might be okay. And I'm speaking here, you know, for the team, for myself personally, not necessarily for all DAO members, and that will always be the case. But I personally struggle to see what the advantage of this move would be over just moving to Terra 2.0 and continuing on the beaten path that we planned all along. If the speed is the only proposition and the only actual argument, that's not an argument enough for me. And you know, I completely appreciate that we might agree to disagree here. Before I answer your previous comment, Berserker, I will give the word to Taukir. Go ahead.
Hey, Karma. Hi, guys. I completely agree with what Karma is actually stating. I don't understand, I have a lot of NFTs that I've also bought on the Terra ecosystem. Obviously, let's say whether it's Galactic Punk, whether it's Wrecked Wolf, or whether it's Heroes, or any of those particular NFTs, it was only because they complement the narrative of the Terra. Now, at the times of where the maximum, whatever the whole community faced through, first of all, it's sort of an acknowledgement of the fact that, especially from an artist's point of view, that it's acknowledgement of the fact that somehow it was basically the developer's fault, not basically any outside attack or something like that. But also, it undermines the core concept of all the NFTs that were being built there. And I don't think that, irrespective of the fact that when you start there, you obviously have to start from scratch rather than just waiting and doing it from the Terra 2.0, rather than just going out and trying to build on the other particular protocols. I mean, that is not going to complement the art that you are generating there, because somehow, whether it's Galactic Punk, whether it's the Heroes, Wrecked Wolf, whether it's like, you know, other particular NFTs that were built there, they all complemented in one way or the other directly to the Terra ecosystem. So, yeah, I mean, that'll be kind of disappointing if it goes to any other ecosystem. I don't know how many people will agree to that.
Yeah, like, I invite anyone to request to speak. I would love to hear just different opinions about that. I really, really appreciate Xuli and Berserker. You know, you clearly have a bit different opinion about this than I do. And that's the entire point of this space, is to really discuss this. Because I think if we've learned anything from the entire Terra spectacle, is that we should be more open to criticism and to just different opinions and to evaluating them in a healthy way. But just, you know, maybe I am, obviously I am very, very subjective in this discussion. I am incredibly emotional. We built Galactic Punks for Terra, and this is where we wanted to stay. You know, even the traits of the collection, they celebrate the protocols, they celebrate the builders that we were so proud to build alongside of. And I just, personally, myself, I see punks as part of history of Terra. Now, we would have reveled in its success if that was the case, and if it continued, you know, its amazing ascent upwards. At the very least, for what this collection is and continues to value, I think it should also persist in the rebuilding stage, if that's where the mother chain follows, and that's you know, the direction that it takes. I also think that, at least, at the very least, I would feel very, very weird moving on to Secret Network or to Juno and having the collection there, having the trades there, while having Terra still fully operational and running. I just don't see enough arguments to actually justify such a drastic shift. I also think that no matter which chain you would go to, you would lose a part of the audience, because no people, like, I can see that from the chats. I can see that from conversations with people. People bought Galactic Punks on Terra as a Terra collection. Yes, they're called Galactic Punks. They're not called Terra Punks or Luna Punks, but that should not be the only, you know, defining characteristic. I think that was Terra collection first, the Terra DAO. That was the entire point and value prop of the collection, being contributing in a crowdsourced way to the development of Terra. Now, again, I feel like I'm re-chewing my own arguments right here, so I'll stop here. Sorry, guys. Just from the perspective of the team, and believe us, we have cried, screamed, and discussed this until we had no voice over the past weeks. But this is the only solution that we personally arrived at that we feel personally okay pushing forward. And please feel free to go ahead, request to speak, and comment on this. This is a very, very obviously divisive and controversial topic. Go ahead, Rick Wolf.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give the flip side, right? For me, the value proposition wasn't that we built the DAO on Terra, is that we built the DAO, period. Some of the initiatives that, you know, were done at the Galactic Punks DAO, I haven't seen on any network. So that's all of them, right? We were the first to do the validator, and I guess other projects followed suit, but that just shows how, in such a short period of time, right, we are kind of one of the young NFT scenes, and in such a short period of time established so many initiatives, so many partnerships across, you know, not only Terra, but also made some friends on Solana, developed the validator, did VC investments, which I'm not even sure any project does that yet in terms of NFT communities. So the leadership by A, this team, and B, the DAO community, is the value proposition, and it doesn't matter where it is, right? It doesn't matter if it's on Terra or Ethereum or Solana or layer zero, whatever we want to, wherever we want to go. And that energy, that drive, that creativity, that leadership can translate anywhere. We can open up a McDonald's tomorrow, and I'm sure it's going to be like the best run McDonald's by NFT DAO. I that's a stupid example, but I'm just saying, you know, to bring it back to actions, I agree with you, Karma. Bridging Galactic Punks to another chain is weird. The traits are very Terra specific, and I'm not sure that will work. But spinning off another project on another chain and having that hedge of that second mint where we can boost the treasury and develop something maybe that is more chain agnostic in terms of art, using this community, using this team, and all that we acquired as knowledge, all the tech skills that y'all have, I think we can make it anywhere, is what I'm saying. And we don't have to be waiting for Terra 2.0 to spin off, because that will be waiting, right? So that's kind of the idea I had in mind for the future. But I also understand that, you know, there's a lot of challenges there. But that was basically my value proposition, or my explanation of the value proposition.
And before I allow anyone to speak again, I'm sorry, I have to launch into this. Johnny Clean and others, I will give you your word in a second. Please bear with me. Beseca, that is an incredibly important point. And I have to admit to everybody here that, like, back when I entered the NFT scene, I come from traditional art world. And I actually entered NFT scene with the fixed idea of creating art, like becoming, you know, basically like 101 artist. And in a way, this devastating situation that happened now, it didn't just basically almost nullify the Galactic DAO treasury, which we know was absolutely substantial. It also nullified the portfolios of this team. And now is the time for hard truths, whereas we might have afforded previously to work on Galactic Punks part-time, and many of us, you know, spent literally 12-hour days on it sometimes. We now simply cannot afford to. Like, we genuinely were zeroed out, and we will, by virtue of necessity, have to pursue other projects. And indeed, one of the ideas was to create a different project, allowing us to utilize many of the technical skills we've learned and allowing us to basically create completely different collection with new art and completely different value proposition on another chain, and possibly whitelisting Galactic Punk holders for it, creating this voluntary cross-chain migration. I dislike the idea of moving the collection that was created for Terra, because by some way, shape, or form, I am forcing holders to follow us to a chain that they didn't choose. And they can't choose it via DAO vote, because then we as a team are forced to support it by our technical skills, etc. This is not a decision that can be left to a general vote, because we will be left with the carrying out of it. So it's only fair that we have to make that decision within our technical capabilities. I do, however, love the idea of inviting people to another chain within the borders of another project. So I guess the short answer to your question would be, we are 100% considering doing something like this. This is not an alpha drop. This is not a promise. I'm very wary of promising anything to anyone ever again. But it's just being transparent with you that by virtue of necessity, this team now must pursue other projects and other jobs. And it actually aligns very well with the idea of that we've had all along of decentralizing this project a bit further and making sure that the DAO is a bit more self-sufficient. Go ahead, Johnny Clean, Xulian, you also had your hand up. I do not know who was first, so I guess go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for letting me speak. You know, I didn't really have a strong opinion one way or the other before I hopped in here and started listening. But yeah, I guess I got to say, Karma, you've kind of swayed me. I guess, you know, there's no reason that in the future, depending on how things go and how things build, you know, launching some, like, building into the narrative another project, you know, that launches on another chain in the future, that could all be done But I think that, you know, as the OG project of Terra, that it kind of makes sense for you, you know, that everyone's going to kind of want to follow that leader. You got, you know, like it or not, you're setting a precedent. So, you know, digging in and, you know, being a part of Terra 2, I think is important in that respect. And then the other thing that I wanted to touch on, which I really liked the direction that I saw some things going prior to this whole collapse. And it seemed like the, you know, DeFi projects were leveraging the communities and like reaching out and say, hey, you know, if you're holding a punk, then, you know, you're going to get some kind of allocation or some kind of whitelist or something. And it was great. You know, like there's this great synergy there. And I'd love to see, you know, as Terra 2 comes online, to kind of double down on that. And, you know, so, you know, an NFT community has a great opportunity to be able to teach the people within that community how to use a new protocol. And that gets, you know, this kind of initial set of users. And I just like that a lot. So I want to throw that out there. But anyway, thanks for the space and thanks for letting me talk.
No, absolutely. I just have to agree with you. That's, I think, one of the unique value props. Peseka, thank you so much for the kind words earlier of Galactic Punks, was that we were bridging new ground in terms of bridging NFT and DeFi space. And some of these ways were enabled by how early Terra was and how small that community was. Because we were all building alongside each other, we all knew each other. It's not like, you know, like I drank beer with most of the builders in Terra community or with many of them. It was so easy to just get together or jump on a call and ensure that our protocols could coexist. There could be a synergy there. And that's why I always bring up community as this like big value prop of Terra. I'm not meaning this as a virtue signaler. Oh my God, we were so great. Community, community, community. That word is used so often nowadays. It means almost nothing in many cases. It didn't in case of Terra. Because everybody was building together in such a close, neat way, the synergies that were enabled by that were just unlike any other chain. At the very least in my limited experience. I'm very, very wary of speaking in absolutes here. And I particularly believe that what we were doing with these different partnerships, in terms of some of the protocols, like let's say Prism, our investment in Prism for the amount of money that Prism raised was almost negligible. It was a huge protocol, an amazing concept. They raised a lot of money, obviously, to prop it up. And yet they partner up with Galactic DAO. We invested in them. We you know, were able to secure a very, very big bag of Prism for ourselves. We were one of Prism validators. This is not something that I saw happen anywhere on any chain. Can you imagine, I don't know, on Ethereum, Alchemix partnering up with Azuki and giving their holders or a DAO, which they don't have, sorry, but a bad example of a project. But again, these synergies were just absolutely incredible on Terra. And I completely agree with you, Johnny. I think we should try to not only continue, but also open ourselves up. And that's what the IBC enabling will continue to help us with towards other chains. And bridging, Cosmos has many, many small NFT communities. We have Secret Network, Juno, etc. And IBC, full IBC enabling, and as Hank here mentioned quickly, these new NFT standards will allow us to bridge these communities and build a more coherent joint Cosmos network. I hope this will be both in terms of NFTs and protocols and interoperability with each other. I think the protocols are only now realizing what an incredible power and force to be reckoned with NFT communities can be. Community as a service, a new utility for every NFT project. Sulian, Nick, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure you were unmuting yourself at some point and I completely steamrolled over you verbally.
Go for it, Nick.
No, I just wanted to agree with you, Karma, on that the punks make sense to stay on Terra. And also, I just wanted to add my two cents on the idea of I think there's a lot of value in pivoting fast, as Berserker has done with Red Wolves. I totally transferred my my wolves to my to the ETH address thing. But I also think that there's also a lot of value in taking time, as much time as possible, to make a decision. Because sometimes, well, somebody, I think it was Brian Tracy, he's some sales guy who says the quality of a decision is kind of how much time you put into making the decision. So sometimes actually taking a little bit more time is quite valuable in making large decisions, especially when it comes to what was once a $70 million NFT collection with Galactic Punks. I think it's quite wise to take it slow. And I mean, it's only next week that we, I mean, maybe it'll take about a month or two just to see what Luna Terra 2.0 becomes. But I think in some sense, the quickness of making decisions kind of also spiraled UST out of control. If everybody took some time, actually, we probably might have been able to repack a little bit. But because it was so fast and everybody was exiting, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot as an entire community with the mass exodus of ourselves. So I don't know, just 2 cents on the idea of like sometimes in the whole NFT crypto space, sometimes slow is actually pretty good also.
Again, different strokes for different folks, you know, whatever floats your boat. I do believe that for many collections, the right answer, if there can even be a right answer in this scenario, will be vastly different from each other, just depending on the roadmap, on whatever funds they were able to salvage. And depending on, you know, just their values and what they want to pursue as a collection. And I don't necessarily want to, you know, assign value, like good or bad, to how quick a decision has been made. I think that decision is just much, much easier for some collection, some collections that possibly don't have a DAO or, you know, we're not as intertwined with the Terra network.
I just wanted to add also, like, I think it made a lot of sense, especially for Red Wolves, because I bought into the whole Red Wolf idea because it was meant to be a cross-chain unwreck yourself thing. So when they decided to move to layer zero, it made a lot of sense. And I think it was one of those things that was, aha, actually, this should move to zero, layer zero. And the unwreckness of the lone wolf moving together as a pack was a genius idea. And then moving to layer zero and then coming up with alphas for all chains, I think that's something that really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think for Wrecked Wolf, it was an absolute no-brainer. I have to hurry up because I still haven't managed to actually send my wolves to the burn address. Please don't make me forget, Berserker. Remind me if my wolves are not with you. I absolutely agree. And I think, I think we also have to be very, very kind to each other. Yes, help each other. Yes, question what we are all doing, but also understand that some of the decisions that some teams make might be very personal, and that personal aspect is not to be, you know, like, it's not trivial. Many of these teams have, in addition to losing the value, like a lot of value of a project that they've spent months, if not years, working on, lost their personal portfolios, lost the treasuries that were, you know, dedicated to developing that project. And they are now not allowed to recover personally because they have this huge burden of a community on their shoulders, hoping for some kind of recoupment of investment. And that is an immense amount of pressure, an immense amount of responsibility that some people might, you know, like, just genuinely not be able to withstand. And I think we just have to be very, very cautious and very kind to each other right now. Kind to teams, kind to holders, and to each other, just to make sure that we don't make all of this even more difficult than it already is. Just some thoughts. I don't know, Coleman, Danku, you've been given the word. I have not yet heard from you. Don't feel put on the spot if you don't want to speak. Anyone can step up and request to speak at this point.
I'll jump in real fast unless they had a comment. But what is everyone's thoughts on collections in general being chain agnostic versus
kind of what has been the trend of collections with NFTs, kind of really depending on that chain that they're built on.
I guess I'll speak real quick, but this is really, you know, not all collections are chain specific, right? If you're looking at the Ethereum projects, it's Bored Ape Yacht Club period or Azuki period. I guess we all know they're on Ethereum. But even something like the Gods, I think they're trying to be as chain agnostic as possible because they want to be focusing on the brand. They want to be focusing on the team and on the utility or the accomplishments of that NFT project. And, you know, the chain is kind of really secondary. It's just a means to an end to enter that community. So it really doesn't matter on which chain they live. As long as that team is there and that community is there, they will strive because they have some really good, you know, value propositions on their own. But I do know that for Terra, I think it was pretty important to have those chain-specific projects, right? Because it was kind of looking for that digital identity or that identity piece. When we first had these NFTs, it was a great way of showing off that you were a big supporter of the Terra network. So that's why the Galactic Punks have so many traits that are kind of specific to Terra. So roundabout way of saying it depends on the project. So those are my quick thoughts.
Yeah, unless no one else has anything to say, I would like to jump in just very quickly this time. I swear I will be quick. I personally think of NFTs as, again, like this tokenized culture of a chain and tokenized tribalism almost in many cases. And what I mean by that is that people just love identifying with something. People love... Yeah, people, I think tribalism is as much a bug of crypto space as it is a feature in many cases. And I think NFT projects just utilize this to create, you know, these smaller communities within these layer ones. And I agree with Paseka. I think depending on what that collection is trying to achieve, it can use its layer one only as a substrate. So it just happened to launch there for whichever reason, but it's its separate identity. Or it could utilize its layer one as one of its value propositions and try to harness the passion for that layer one, for that blockchain, into its own community. I think a good example is the difference between DeGods and Solana Monkey, like MonkeyDAO, so Solana Monkey Business NFT holders. One is much more concentrated on a brand and being its own, you know, super venture. It just happens to be on Solana. It does include many Solana lovers. On the other hand, MonkeyDAO is, like Punks were for Terra, a crowdsourcing mechanism for contributions to that chain. I think that's the big difference. I think many, many, many collections should go cross-chain and should be chain agnostic if it suits what they are trying to accomplish. But I also hope that many collections will remain that will try to contribute to their particular blockchains in a much more focused way than just, you know, using it as a substrate and as technology to sit upon. Go on, Nick.
Yeah, I have another 2 cents, a lot of 2 cents actually, now because Luna is cents. I was going to say that I think the idea of the absolute whether NFT projects should be chain agnostic or not, like I think everybody agrees that it really depends on the NFT project, and I think it also depends on the chain, because like, okay, something small and simple like the Terra Mochis, I actually designed them so that they will look good on a marketplace, so it's actually even weirder, because I don't want to move them because I actually want them to stay on one planet, because that's all I wanted. It was just an art project, and I think like certain art projects look better on certain marketplaces. And I think certain scales of NFT projects work better on certain scales of blockchains. So I think like Wetroof DAO is a big project, and I think it makes a lot of sense to move to a bigger chain actually. But then there are a lot of other small projects that I think doesn't make sense to go into think of it like a highway, right? Where the highway runs giant monster trucks. And I think if you are just trying to sell like something small and cute or something silly and fun or a bag of dicks, I don't think you should move. You should stay where it makes the most sense, right? Because every chain has a story proposition, and Terra 1.0's proposition was the decentralization of the stable coin. So actually, none of us know what Terra 2.0 is going to be. But if anything at all, it's going to be a small chain again. And it's going to be a small chain of a very high concentration of broken lunatics, better or for worse. So I think that story in itself is very strong for NFT projects that can identify themselves as the story of the broken lunatics and the story of the broken, the people who resisted against centralization of stablecoin, blah, blah, blah. All those things, I think projects that identify with that story should move, and this is my two cents, should move to Terra 2.0. And then I think projects that have actually grown outside of Terra 1.0 way before the crash, actually, I think it makes a lot of sense to move. It's kind of like this is the catalyst for our projects to realize which chain speaks to them the best. And I think even more roundabout way of saying it depends on the project.
I think that's a completely fair assessment. I'm very excited to see what other projects will decide. Taukrir, feel free to go ahead. Jimmy, I see you're raising your hand, waving and doing whatnot. However, I am very, very hesitant to admit you, as if I remember correctly, you are the Jimmy that shouted on quite some people on different spaces. And as much as I understand airing personal frustrations in this very trying time, I am not trying to devolve this very, very fine discussion into a shouting match. So do accept my full ignorance of your request to speak. Taukri, go ahead.
I'm dead laughing. I think most of the Terra community guys know Jimmy as a person. He's a very smart guy, but yeah, he is an otter.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Jimmy. Don't get me wrong. I am not blocking you. I'm very rarely blocking people, but I'm just trying to keep this wholesome. Everybody has been through a lot, so please forgive me.
Yes, bring him up, Karma. To bring him up, it's hilarious.
So hey guys, by the way, Danku, really nice to see you again, brother. It's been a while. I haven't heard from you. I've been always looking for you in some spaces, but yeah, you barely speak now. I just had a few questions, and at the same time, few things to add. I don't think, Nick, that the whole Terra 2.0 will be a small chain, because for any sort of chain out there to, let's go to basics, any upcoming chain, they need a lot of time, or they take sometimes years and years and a lot of attention from the market, or like, you know, they have to be tested in a lot of ways from the user base in terms of what kind of products they develop. However, I think the bigger buck where it lies, they understand where the fault was, or like, you know, what actually brought down the value. But I'm sure that they completely understand that how efficient the ecosystem or the chain was. A lot of people, in terms of like how it simplified a lot of DeFi aspects, how it simplified, like, you know, it's like how simplified and easy to use its UI UX was. How strong the community was. I don't think any other protocol has that. In terms of the developer activity, in terms of all of these factors added on, I think the moment Terra 2.0 is going to start, I think it will definitely have all of it takes, because a lot of developers already know the protocol. They are already going to be using the protocol. There will be pre-existing developers there, and anybody who has pledged their support. Like, you know, Dokwan recently, like, you know, called out the developers for, and the sort of support they showed means obviously they are not going to start their projects on zero, or what we call nowadays USD. So we know exactly that they're mainly going to come out and they're going to show that support. They're going to show that activity and try and bring more and more liquidity through whatever they are doing. Yes, they will always have. In initial, that paranoia will be there, that maybe this works, maybe it doesn't work. But now overall, look at like Galactic Punks, Rektwolf, who's going to, Rektwolf is actually the only one of the only projects who's going to stay so relevant to this project. I don't think they should even bother about any changes, chains. So we all, I mean, like, we understand it in that perspective. And I think it will like, you know, with the solidarity of the validators, of the developers, of the NFT artists, and the community that is already pre-built, who is so keen on seeing that what 2.0 is going to bring. I think matter of, like, you know, a year or months or years rather, but I do see still Terra 2.0 being up there in the top 10. And I'm not a degen. I have lost money too. I have lost shit ton of money on Luna as well, but I won't hesitate to put that money back in when the 2.0 comes and just hold it. People, if anybody has a doubt of really how it is, just go and see compared to any other protocols out there, right? I don't think anyone comes close to what Terra was doing. Any other protocol comes. I get it. Like, you know, now understand it in this way. Cosmos is an amazing chain, right? There are a lot of factors to it, but it's not simple. It's not that simple to use. Not for a person like me. Maybe for a person like Danku, but not for a guy like me. It's pretty difficult, right? For me to understand and, like, you know, make that ease of like, you know, that kind of a convenient user interface and the quality of the developments. It's already there. Like, pick up just a simple product like the Terra Station wallet, right? Compare it to any other wallets out there. It might not be having those complications or anything, but it's pretty simplified and it has a lot of room to adding a lot of other features. Their DEXs, I hope Astroport stays. I don't know what they're going to do with that. I don't know. Maybe Danko has any information on that. It'll be really helpful. I don't know what Astroport is going to do. I don't know what Delphi Digital is going to decide. But overall, I still do think that even if we eliminate that anchor factor and USD factor out, there is still so much of scope and room to grow as just an base layer L1. So, yeah. Hey, Danko, keen to hear from you, man.
Hey, Tolkien. Yeah, I just wanted to agree with you, actually. I think I misspoke. I didn't mean that I think that, like, Luna is going to be a small chain. I think it's more Terra 2.0 is going to be a small chain. It's more on the story of the NFT part of Terra 2.0 is probably going to be really small moving forward at this point, because at Terra 1.0, we were already pretty small. Just the idea of moving to 2.0 is, I think, just the expectation of projects that want to move to 2.0. I think it would be healthy to expect that it will be a smaller crowd. But everything else, I agree with you, because I think I read somewhere that the idea of the problem with all crypto blockchains is that every blockchain speaks crypto and people don't speak crypto. So the one thing that I thought Terra did really well was to actually break down blockchain and crypto into English and understandable user experiences, which made it so valuable to that extent that it kind of broke away from UST a little bit, to the point that there is an actual value to Luna as the value token of Terra. And then Luna also held a value proposition to UST. And I think that it got really mixed up at one point in time, and then the whole thing came crashing because kind of we grew really fast. So I am very excited for Terra 2.0. just to see actually now what the value for Luna will be as the value for the whole blockchain.
Hi, everybody. I don't know if you can hear me. Just to address the few questions from Tokir, and hi, Karma, hi, Cole, hi, Nick. Hey, Nick, never talked to you before in person, but we have so much exchange points before. You know, I'm a big fan of your work. I hope you keep on driving with all your art. And you destroyed here a lot of the sentences you dropped, man. It's like you're just destroying hearts here. Just kidding. I don't know, right? I don't have any information on if a protocol would like to go on or not. Just think in general, let the market decide, right? If people think the V2 of Terra is great, they will come. If other people think that it's good to make a cut and move on and maybe find somewhere else fulfillment, then also okay, right? I think Kujira is showing that they're already driving forward, creating their own L1. So who knows? In hindsight, maybe it was the best decision ever that Kujira did, in terms of they saw that Terra is over and they did their own thing. maybe they can become this blockchain that is the liquidator blockchain. Who knows, right? So I think in general, I don't want to be here too hard, but this has been all destroying for myself, right? For probably a lot of you that are listening here, a lot of groundwork, a lot of hard work. This is, I mean, I've talked to you, Karma and Cole, in private, right? In terms of there's so much work that has went in here. But I think this doesn't should stop now people from go on driving, right? If some people will find a new home in Terra V2, there will be new people, there will be old people. I'm happy to see that. That's why I also decided with my team to be a validator there. If other people decide to move on and find a new home on Osmosis, on Juno, on Near, well, that might be also fine, right? We are all still here, big space. We are still early. I think now it's more like this crisis that we need to survive to see if DeFi and crypto and Web3 is ready to take the next step. And that's okay, right? So I think this is a huge opportunity in hindsight, hopefully, for a lot of people. And yeah, it's great to hear NFT projects just trying to figure out the next steps, because I think that's for sure not easy at all. I know, Karma, that you put so much love into the Galactic Punks and you also see them on Terra. Yeah, I'm curious to see where all of this goes, and I stop here my monologue.
No, that's an entirely fair monologue. I think, yeah, to maybe I might seem very upbeat on these spaces, but believe me, my consumption of calories over the past 2 weeks since the DPEC have consisted almost entirely of wine. It's okay not to be okay, and this was a situation so very unprecedented and awful. I genuinely hope none of us will ever have to go through this again. But if anything, if we don't learn anything from it, then it truly was for nothing. All we can do is, you know, sit down. I spoke on the previous spaces, like with like journaling really, really helped me in addition to wine. And I see it as a very, very expensive tuition for leveling up on a speed run almost in the RPG game of crypto. What we've learned over the past weeks about taking profits, about diversifying, about not trusting anything and anyone too much with our portfolio. I think these are very, very precious lessons that we have paid dearly for. And the only thing that we can do to ensure that these losses were not for nothing is to not exit the space, is to pursue this crypto world that we still believe in, I think most of us, in a bit more of a conservative manner, and with these lessons learned. So sorry, Danku, like you are right, and it's okay not to be okay. We might all seem very, very fun and constructive of these Twitter spaces, but believe us that no matter which protocol lead or team member you would have spoken to just a couple of days ago, we were and are, some of us, still very, very devastated. And it's okay.
No, I totally agree with you. And I mean, maybe because also some people have most likely been asking, and it's great to see so many familiar faces here in the spaces. I myself have also decided to get a little bit more quiet since a week, more or less. I'm happy to talk about this right after a, of course, long week when everything unfolded, which was devastating for sure. I had the feeling since last Friday that PvP will start. PvP unfortunately started, because no matter how you try to restart now Terra V2, somebody will be happy and somebody will be unhappy. There are other people to decide about tokenomics, if it makes sense, yes or no. I for myself just say, let's just start it, right? If there are people that then want to move on with Terra V2, let them do so. If there are people that want to move on with Terra V1, let them do so. And if others want to leave, also fine. I think we need to now hopefully sooner than later survive this ambiguous state of we still have the old chain, maybe there is a new chain, and what this works and everything that is included, so much PvP, which is, yeah, as you said, there are builders that try to move also forward with this proposal, and they got burned a bit in the last days and weeks, which hurts me a lot because they are great people, like all of you out here also having their own NFTs project. So I truly hope that once the vote is over, I think like how much days are left? 3 or 4? I don't know. I need to check myself that this gives everybody more peace, and then we can move on stronger And yeah, then finally, I hope that I have then more clarity on my side where I see my NFTs in the future. I've heard there are some screenshots done, yes or no, but yeah, I think it's for everybody still crazy what's happening right now.
Yeah, we are sort of like trying to create this digital campfire circle, maybe not yet singing Kumbaya, but we are desperately trying to at least eat some s'mores together in an attempt to console each other. And that's okay too. Space Toads, go ahead. That is so incredibly on brand. How long were you waiting to pull this one on us? Love it. The most constructive addition to this entire conversation.
I just finished watching Westworld season 3. I don't know if I'm reprogrammed now. I'm a bit concerned in general after hearing this sound.
No spoilers. I am only on season 1.
Long way to go. There you go. Take it. Very cool. Just let me comment, if it's okay for everybody, on the topic of if an NFT project needs to be on chain, yes or no, or chain. I mean, Karma, you know that we have had our long discussions on what NFTs even mean, yes or no. And for me, it was, for example, clear that Galactic Punks was moving itself more into a classic Web3 project. And that may give me at least more peace of mind, at least of what this means. Because in the end, for me, the NFT became more of a money raise module. Before that, it was ICOs, so fungible coins. Now it has become non-fungible coins, which defines basically stake on a project. That project tries to now move forward and create either a community or a following to then create value, be it monetized value or some form of other community value. And what I, for example, when I was following the Wreck Wolves, I had the feeling it was the same. You basically created an own club, and the club itself, it doesn't matter on which chain it is. I think it's more like that you have this membership card that then gives you access to a certain amount of information. I, for example, heard that a lot of people were amazed by the analytics that you were doing in the Wreck Wolves Discord, if I'm not mistaken. And that just shows that in the end, who cares on which chain it is? If it's a membership card works on every chain out there, right? So that's just one piece of the story. But then tribalism, of course, and certain traits that define something might be relevant. But then on the other side, it's like Levana shows also that in the end, NFTs are evolving, right? For example, if I'm not mistaken, the picture is usually just a part of the metadata that an NFT is pointing at to define how it looks like. But this can change over time, right? So you can basically change the pointing finger, and then if it shows to another picture, it also is a different one. So the picture itself is maybe not the key point. It's more the metadata that defines your stake on something, or also is a point in time. Why I stick to my NFTs, because they are just, for me, a time capsule of what happens in a very nice way to Terra. And I have great memories, right? That's why I will always keep them for me, because they're time capsules. But I think in the end, this can help even more redefining and shaping what NFTs means now that they need to move most likely from a chain, and helps also shaping more how those DAOs maybe look like. But I stop here.
Yeah. Maybe if, unless someone wants to add something directly to this, I hope you can hear me. I was just booted off Spaces twice. Can anyone hear me? Am I talking to myself here?
No, we can hear you.
Thank God. Now, I just wanted to say that at this point, like we've been going for over an hour and a half. I'm starting to understand Sephi. Like, this is so addictive. I could just, you know, spend hours talking to people on Spaces. It's amazing. I'm not quite on his level yet, though. I don't think I will ever ascend to that godly Spaces comprehension. However, what I wanted to say, just for people who have just joined, we had many, many new people join the Spaces right now or just recently. I think it would be very, very worthwhile to just do a very, very quick recap of what options are there for collections. We've already established very extensively that there is no one solution fits all. people will have to look at collections, look at what the roadmap is, what they're trying to accomplish, and what their audience is as well, to determine what the right option is. As Rechtwolf has very, very amply raised, a very good argument to consider is also the time frame of what you are trying to achieve or do. Because when it comes to Terra 2.0, it might actually take a while for all of us to migrate in a coherent manner. The solutions are on the way. And what I wanted to say now is, how could a solution for migration even look like? And this is not just for Terra 2.0, but for migrations in general. Now, something that can be done is, this is just a quick overview for people who have not yet immersed themselves. Something that can be done very, very easily is just a snapshot on one chain and an airdrop on another. That is the easiest way. However, you run into a problem of then two similar NFTs or same NFTs existing on two different chains simultaneously. Now, that's not necessarily something that you want to be doing, because you might be diluting the collection or just be against it on a very, very ideological basis. Like, if NFT is a non-fungible token, no two versions of it should exist on two different chains, maybe. So there are other options, and something that will be attempted to be created, as far as I talked to RandomEarth as well, for migration to Terra 2.0, would be creating almost like a contract that allows you to lock your NFT on one side and release it on another. So let's say you want to port your Galactic Punk from Terra Classic to Terra 2.0. You would go to that bridge, and it would lock away your punk on one side and release it on another. In that case, at no point do you have two same NFTs on two different chains. Or maybe if, you know, we have no idea how the chains will operate, maybe it will become quite clear soon that one of the chains will not be viable. There will be few validators. Maybe there will be no viable validators for Terra Classic at some point, and we will know that the chain, you know, will be, let's say, retiring. And then we might consider burning the NFTs on that side and basically airdropping them on the other. There is little clarity on exactly how this all will go, but I just wanted to sort of like reiterate what we've discussed, that there will be different options and there is no one-fit-all solution. Rechtwolf, for example, is going cross-chain with, or omni-chain even, as Xulian has very, very well explained, with Layer 0 that allows collections to move to it and creates almost like just omni-chain home. From that, you can port to different chains. So technically and theoretically, you can move to Layer 0 and remain there. And in a couple of months, if Terra 2.0 is thriving, move back to Terra 2.0. So like, that gives you the flexibility if that's what you desire. And then there are other collections that took the chance of basically Terra collapsing, or not the chance, but maybe just the circumstance, to find a completely different home that possibly better aligns with what they are trying to do. And the best example here, I think, is the Poppin Puffins, who will be moving to Argoland, who is... basically, it's a chain known for its carbon neutrality and for many, let's say, environmental focused projects residing there. So there are different ways to approach this. There are different solutions, and none of them ideal for everybody. And I think we will see many new solutions over the upcoming days as well. I don't know, Gene, if you want to say anything about the path Hero is taking, or Coleman, about, you know, some of the considerations that Lunabus might be thinking about. Again, please don't feel put on the spot if you just can't speak right now, but I would love to hear from you if you so desire.
Hi, Karma. Yeah, sorry about that. I was just distracted for a second. Yeah, I mean, at the moment, to be honest with you, we are still listening to feedback from the community and just trying to make a more of an informed decision about what we're going to do. So we are, I would say, you know, it's still at that stage at the moment. We're still at the stage of not wanting to rush into anything. And obviously, as you've spoken about in the spaces as well, which I've been listening to, is it's can be for a project of our size, and certainly of some of the other projects who have been around a long time, a very costly move as well. So we need to consider everything. And I think more importantly is the opinion of the community. And we don't feel at the moment that we've really got a consensus, so to speak. So we're just, you know, taking our time, and we really want to do that and continue to just take those, you know, just make sure we make the right move. That's where we are at the moment. So nothing for certain at the moment.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. I think it's a very, very difficult decision for all of us. And on our side, it was also like really literal hours and weeks of discussions. Gene, do you feel like talking about Heroes path? I think for you, it might be a bit of an easier consideration, knowing that you guys have very, very tight ties to Solana already, being like a dual chain collection.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Karma, thank you for letting me speak. And before I answer the question, I just want to say one thing. Everyone here is like my family. I see, seriously, every single lunatic as a family member. And it's so cool. I was just in the near space, and I'm hearing them out. And I see that they have the giga brains, just like the lunatics do, or lunatics. And you know, and I come back and to this space, and I'm like, man, this is like going to your home, to your family, you know, some sort of dinner gathering, and you know, sharing a meal together. That's how it feels. So thanks for, you know, for making community, for being community, and for sticking together, guys. Okay, to answer the question, so the developer team are pretty much done with the bridge of transferring tokens from Terra into Solana, and this would be a two-way bridge. At first it was hard for us to make it, you know, to transfer one token to one chain and then transfer back. The transferring back and forth was like the difficult part. So they decided to make like a one-way bridge, you know, just kind of like for security, like liquid assets for like emergencies. And then they discovered, well, we found the way back and might as well, you know, let's just make the actual bridge. So they're done with it. Right now we're just running testings, and then we'll release it. This is open for any team that wants to use it. Of course, let us just run the testing and mess it up all on our own. And then when it's done, we'll share. But yes, at the end of the day, we are very strong, you know, in Terra. I also want to say one more thing. I'm not sure if like, I'm not a developer, but I'm not sure if the contracts on Terra and Terra 2.0 would stay the same. If they stay the same, and I believe they're going to be, you know, almost identical, at least on the bridge that we're building, we'd be able to use that should, you know, anyone be worried about having two NFTs on two chains. In this case, you would bridge one token over to the new Terra. And that is available. So yeah, if anyone also wants to in some way or form be connected with some of our devs, I can make that chat available for you guys for your teams. And yeah, they're pretty creative people, and they love Terra. They started on Solana and they fell in love with the contracts of Terra. And now that, not to throw any shade, but now that they're going, you know, building back on Solana, they're like, oh man, we're gonna miss Terra so much. It was so easy to build on Terra. So yeah, no, we're sticking around, and yeah, and being here as support and continue to build. Regardless, the bridge is there. We hope to, you know, also make some friends in other spaces, but nonetheless, this is our home, and yeah, we'll stick around and try to build with you guys.
Absolutely beautiful words. And I think maybe again, a little bit of a reminder from the previous spaces that we run, was that if you do run an NFT project on Terra, or you were about to, and you need to be connected with some of the other blockchains that are actively trying to help people port over, and you would like, you know, for personal reasons or whichever reasons, to just move, migrate, or otherwise, but don't have your own resources and devs to do so, either DM me or some of the other project leads here on the Spaces, and we will basically send you an invite to a specific Discord for Terra NFT projects if you're not yet there. And there are representatives from all the major blockchains that have declared themselves ready to help with bridges, with their dev work to help you port over. So don't hesitate to reach out. There are people out there trying to help you. I know it was very discouraging what happened to Terra, but if anything good came out of it was to see the immense outpour of love and support from our neighbors or on different chains, from different ecosystems, and their readiness to help these NFT communities thrive and port over to their ecosystems. We have heard here about the bridge being built to Solana, to it from Solana. Gene, I believe that the plan is to allow or to upgrade the NFT contracts on Terra 2.0 in some way. I also know that there is work being done on an interoperable NFT contract that would allow us to be a bit more flexible overall within the Cosmos network. When that will be is yet to be determined, but we have a lot to look forward to. There is also a bridge being worked on to and from Secret, that should be operational within a week or two, and other possible solutions. So don't hesitate to reach out. Now, I believe I cut someone off there already again, so feel free to unmute yourself and go ahead. Or maybe I didn't. Well, that's a new one. Yeah, absolutely amazing. And I believe that we will see many more solutions over the upcoming weeks. I do have to bring the Spaces that has now run for 2 full hours to a close slowly, but something that I wanted to touch upon, and I will not go into detail now, but just wanted to mention, was that within everything that happened to Terra, it was an absolutely unprecedented event and incredibly fascinating to observe the value that NFTs posed in such a cataclysmic event to many people. So as everything was happening, as Luna was, you know, death spiraling, what we first saw was a massive increase in volume of NFT trading, with rapidly decreasing floor prices of NFTs as people were trying to liquidate their assets to avoid liquidations of Anchor. So these mass liquidations of illiquid assets like NFTs just to gain more liquidity and insulate yourself from liquidations on the other side. As people realized slowly what was happening, I think many tried to, again, sell as low as possible, or like as quickly as possible, lowering floor prices, just to pull out at least a little bit of funds. And then we saw a massive bounce, further even in volume, as people who were unable to find liquidity and pull out these assets started to liquidate them into NFTs in an attempt to preserve value, because Luna was, you know, becoming basically more and more worthless from hour to hour, and people were trying to preserve some kind of value by porting it over into NFTs. I think this was an incredibly fascinating display of human psychology, of what NFTs mean to different people. At some point, like I've already reached out to Xfarna. I should also talk to you, Xulian. This is an absolutely historic event, a very, very important data, and we should write this down. We should like write an extensive analysis on this and preserve this for the history. I think this is a very, very important thing to analyze when it comes to basically just history of NFTs and how they relate to their layer ones. Now, Xulian, go ahead first, and then Tauqueer.
Yeah, thanks, Karma. I think I just wanted to add to that. It wasn't only people trying to preserve, but it also reached a point where
as you see tokens kind of lose value and become relatively worthless, you psychologically have like that decision point where you can either hold a token or you can own a JPEG that at least has a beautiful image, or you know, something you identify with, or you can be part of a community or something. So I think kind of looking back, a lot of people that have been through other bear markets and stuff and have been through these 90% pullbacks on any other token, nowadays it does appear that with NFTs, people would just much rather hold a piece of art that goes to become worthless than hold a token that goes to become worthless, which is honestly kind of beautiful to see. A random fun fact is actually that during recessions and like after wars and all that, when money is really tight, the only asset that outperforms pretty much anything, like gold or oil or something, is art. Art has historically outperformed any asset during big recessions, which is really cool to see, and how that has kind of really quickly been represented in NFTs.
Tauqueer, go ahead. And beautiful thoughts, Julian. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. So, on basically, you know, we are a user based acquisition company, and I'll just give out, like, you know, some sort of, in any ways, whatever we can do, and we have done since the DPEG to support mainly some of the developers or some of the projects, but even like, you know, extending our support to the NFTs based on Terra. What I can say is, like, on behalf of the fund that we have, we are based in Dubai. We have a user-based acquisition company with more than around 440 million subscriber base since last 8 years. We are happy to help and support any of the upcoming or the existing Terra developers in NFTs or any other projects. Anyone who's out there who needs any sort of support, and from our side, more than happy to reinvest again and again in the projects. So yeah, but as Karma said, as Julian said, that there is always a blessing in disguise. Here you understand that how tight-knitted the whole Terra community is.
Thank you so much, Tauqueer. That is a very, very generous offer. And I'm sure some projects will reach out and will be able to possibly find support. For people watching this as a recording, if you would like to reach out, I hope you don't mind. The Twitter handle is TauqueerDXB. Now, thank you so much. I think we will see incredible things over the next few weeks. We might not have wanted or wished this situation upon ourselves, but nevertheless, we are in some way, shape, or form writing NFT history. I don't think anything like this has ever happened before. We're not talking about collapse of just an algorithmic stablecoin, as people like to misrepresent this, but about an entire vibrant ecosystem, including an incredibly quickly developing NFT scene. Like what we've witnessed on Terra in terms of NFT utility and interoperability was absolutely incredible. And I do hope that we will retain this. If not on Terra 2.0, then at least in the form of various communities that will go cross-chain and will continue innovating. And this is something that we can definitely be proud of. I absolutely love these spaces. I know we touched upon many topics, and even though we've been going for 2 hours, there would still be so much more to discuss. But we all do keep in touch, and we shall reconvene again. If anyone has any closing statements or just a couple of words to say goodbye with, please go ahead. For me, this would be a goodbye, and I'm very, very excited to now go and grab some dinner.
And wine.
That is a given. Everybody's very shy today, but goodbye on behalf of everybody. Thank you so much for participating in the discussion, and until next time.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Terra 2.0 NFT Sunday Chat, hosted by Karma, recorded on Sunday, May 22nd, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to terraspaces.org/donate and show some love.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep your hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Razor beam focus, Starscream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all a wreck with the dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol. But it didn't matter, we was all hyped up. When the pedal lit the metal, he just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, right off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth, slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terra Spaces.